That we worship the one true holy God. And we acknowledge, Jesus, that you are such a wonderful Savior. And the song rightly said, we love you. That's true. We pray that you would bless the reading of your word now, Lord God. And keep us mindful of that love that we have. In Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 15, starting in verse 12. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year, you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, from your wine press. And what the Lord your God has blessed you with, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I commend you this thing today. And if it happens that he says to you, I will not go away from you, because he loves you and your house, since he prospers with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear, through the door, and he shall be your servant for and for. Also to your female servant you shall do. It shall not seem hard to you when you send them away free from you. For he has been worth a double hired servant in serving you 6 years. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do. What do we have? Talking about the law concerning the bond servant. The bond servant. And the bond servant found himself in a particular situation. The bond servant, whether he was a farmer, whether he raised animals, or whatever he was, found There was no healthcare system
in place for those who could not afford it.
You would either starve, you and your family, or if you had a family member that could keep you for a while, maybe. But you have a way. God developed a way for you to be cared for. You had to go to a brother who was prosperous and successful and say, me and my family, you're perfect. Me and my family are in this situation. Let us work for you for 7 years. And then the release of the Lord. And the person would agree, and you would work free of charge. You would labor with this brother, and then the allotted time, he would release you. But God says there was a way to be released. He's your brother. He's your sister. You will not let them go away empty-handed. As a matter of fact, you will give them abundantly all that they need in order for them to start rich somewhere else, if that's what he chooses. It's amazing how God had a vision for those that are down and out. We didn't invent assistance programs. God did. Why? Because he cares. He loves. And he wants us to do the same. Why? To represent him, to his people. But then something odd happens. When the time came, the bond servant was to be set free. A bond to be provided. You got everything you need to do, so make it happen. I'm going to go. He was a slave. It's 7 years. I love you. The servant fell in love with the master. You say, well, how can that happen? There's only one way that something like that can happen. And that's when the servant is dwelling in the master's presence. You have a loving master. This wasn't a come. Because once this happens, once the bond slave says, I'm not leaving you, once that happens, you are committed to that relationship forever. As a matter of fact, there was an awe for the person's ear. And it was sort of signified obedience and loyalty. And then it gets the law of the house to be a public announcement for all to see, so that there can be witnesses of the transaction. And it's correct. Once that pastor made the decision, what if he was faking to get a free server? Because look, I can put on a Colgate rinse and smile and get all churchy on you for a Sunday, maybe two. And if I'm good at my time, I can make it for 3 months. But sooner or later, you're going to see the cookie and cookies stop right in your face. And you're going to see my cookie speak. Maybe for 2 or 3 months. For 7 years? If you can hold the calm for 7 years, you can't. You can't love somebody in a way that they understand what
you mean to them for 7 days, 7 months, 7 years? No way. No way. Did anybody pull that off? Genuine? Genuine love from one brother to another brother. You can't fake that kind of love for that long. So we want to know that the person made a voluntary, conscious decision that Jesus is going to be under your tutelage, Jesus is going to be under your care, and he's going to be obedient and given to you to the day that I come to me.
Why? Because I love you. And you. So not only would he be able to hold the contract for 7 years, but then his wife, his everybody would have to be playing that game. So now he gave him over. He gave himself over to that man for the rest of his life. And he said the reason, because I love you. There is no way that that servant would have developed such a love for his master unless he was under the master's, in the master's presence all the time. He witnessed something he could not witness for every day. He said something and saw something that the priest there could not offer him. He sensed the security not only for himself, but for his children. They would never be cared for, they would never be loved, they would never be adored as they were when they were under the master. That is what makes a loving servant. How obedient this man, this master, must have been to the word of God. God gave him specific instructions that you had to fill up to the guild before they left. And then God said this, and this is crucial to understanding why I learned me, why I learned you to love that way. What did he know Jesus in the way? Because when you're in the midst of Christ, when you spend time with Jesus, the more time you walk with Jesus, the more time you remember what he has done for you, the more you see that Christ can never fulfill you like Jesus Christ does, the more you fall in love with your Savior. It doesn't work. And even though they have learned to love you still, drop the ball. And you get a good old fashioned beat down your horse. Mentally. The world has to be a beat. And you take it into the person in the world, and then they'll chew you up and spit you out. To Jesus Christ, then I'm not worthy of 1 second of his time. He wants me to be with him. He wants to spend time with God who created the entire world. The one who lives in his kingdom in heaven. The one who cares about this insignificant Richie. What? You can't be. And he had no one loving the world. And the more time with him, the more I realized there is being in the presence of Jesus Christ, being in the presence of the Spirit. Being a slave of Jesus or a slave of corporate America along with them. I want to be a bondservant of Christ for the rest of my life. He paid it. And the awe under his hands and his feet and the peace of wood. He loved me. He paid the price. Did he give me sufficiently everything that I can possibly need to walk with him? And some. There are riches that the Lord has given us that I haven't even begun to unwrap yet. Like Christmas every day. The way it is. He's the gift that keeps on giving. I want to be with him, and when I come with him, I feel the cold. You know what I mean? Like I feel the chill when I'm close to him. The Holy Spirit reminds me, where you go? What are you doing? Feel that chill, or sense that I am drawing away from him. Why? Because every time I'm next to him, I am absolutely loved and careful. I am absolutely complete. Fear, all fears, as the hymn goes, all fears. Because that's who he is. And then he says this, verse 15. You shall remember that you were in the, that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. You know why we won't be for Jesus Christ? We forget. We simply forget what we've been doing. It's that simple. It's not. When we draw away from God, we are forgetting why we are under his auspices and his care to begin. The world can never live. It just doesn't have the capacity. It just doesn't have the know-how. It doesn't understand true biblical godly love. And I have never seen it until I came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then did we even define what true love was? As a matter of fact, it's not like a state that our marriage began to really flourish, because I'm not just. What true life-giving, one-way flowing, I just want the best for the other person, for the equal love of you. And that is the love that I begin to share with you. God said this, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, basically, God was saying, you need to be who you're. You need to remember what I did for you. That's why you did the same thing. Because I did it for you, you need to do it for others. This is the most divine, clear-cut servant instruction that there is. Do things the way I did it to you, you do it to your brothers, and everything will be just. Matter of fact, go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 5. Starting at 4:31. The time that I said. Ephesians. And one of those new Bibles and those pages just kind of stick together. It's pretty frustrating. And so it says, Ephesians chapter 4:31, let us put this wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from me with all malice. And be kind one another. How? Even as God. Just like me. Just like God. Even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, you ever heard that saying, you know, yeah. Very loud. I don't know who wrote it, but somebody in response to that, and we get this sometimes, it's like very active. The union, the hip will stick out of the room in case of
It's that. Don't worry about it. I got you. Forgiveness. Forgive you completely in your offenses. As who? As God in Christ forgave you. Look at verse 5 on the chapter 5 before you. Therefore, be imitators of God. This is the reason I'm preaching this is because this is where the true servant is made. The true servant is Christ. This is how you deal with all the obstacles that you need to get through your faith during the time when you're serving. He gives it to you. All he said, imitate God. How did you pay for your salvation? Nothing. Same thing with your brother. You expend your life to them expecting nothing in return. Not respect, not money, not money. Not anything. Well, you think for you, but you think for God. How many people imitating God? That's a physical treatment. That's what it is. And when you serve, whether it's cleaning the toilet, whether it's working in the elements of the kitchen, whether it's speaking from the pulpit, it's all the same. I'm not trying to imitate God. I'm going to give you as much as I possibly can. Spend my life to you as much as I possibly can to imitate the greatest of his life and as the greatest of his life to more and more and more imitators to be the Lord. That's the point of servant of God learning to imitate. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in what I have. It's just outrated. Walk in my house, Christ also
let's do it again. That's a good one. One in one. Because service to God's people sometimes standing up for the cause of Christ in many people. But sometimes you wonder that flesh part of you, you know, that little part of you inside that says, yeah, you see the return. That's what it is. Jesus says, you'll see it. Not on this side of heaven. And you're still not going to carry it. But I'd like to have the look at what he said in 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be submissive to your masters in the Lord Jesus, only to the good and to the good, and also to the harsh. This is not the master, we're talking about the servant. This is how you do serve. For this is commendable, is becoming the conscience of the Lord. You're doing it to be like God. One endures grief, suffering, one for what good it is. If you are beaten for your fault, you take it patiently. But when you do it, you do good and you suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before. I can please God for every single person that persecutes me or does whatever. Because I am serving Jesus Christ and I'm doing the right thing. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard of believers doing the right thing in their job, in their vocation, in their secular employment, only to be shot down by those that are seeking opportunity. They confront their work for you. When they find something, you first do it. But when they endure, that they're doing it for the Lord, they're spiritually moving. I just heard the angel stones there and give them something. For to this, verse 21, this is important. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving the world. Therefore, be like him. how to be a good servant. All you have to do is follow the pattern of the Lord. Were you worthy to be served? Were you feeling worthy of God sending his own to the opportunity to ask your last meal? Did God compare you a little with his son? Did he give you many gifts? So, right? Maybe? You know, as a Christian servant, we talk about it today. We sung of it. Behold, one man is wrong. The Father has bestowed upon us the evil sons. Chapter 1, verse 12. He gave us the right to be called. All privileges, inheritance, with home, heirs with Christ. Supposed And we're unworthy. But this is what he does. He gives you, just like the bondservant, he gives you more than what you can possibly imagine or need. And we decided, that's good. We're going to stay forever. I want to be under my master. Not for the rest of my life, because my life is but a little tiny, tiny speck of time, but for eternity. I want to be called a servant of Jesus. And I know that you too. And it starts here, right? The vacuuming of the carpet, the cleaning of the books, listen, find your niche, because you will never be able to understand the love of your master until you are fully invested in his house. So not only do you fall in love with men, but you believe in this man. What a beautiful way to serve Jesus. I mean, when we're serving Christ, we're really going to Christ University. What are we doing? We're learning. We're learning how to love, we're learning how to sacrifice, we're learning how to give. We're growing. We're actually getting when we're giving. It's crazy. Jesus. To the world, it doesn't make any sense. In the Bible, it's perfectly clear. The more I serve, the more I become like him. Let's continue serving the Lord with our whole hearts in every little nook and cranny we can find ourselves in work for him to get to glory at once. Become more like him so that the world sees us. When my brother and sister sees me, they see Jesus. That's what we do. Again, and we thank you for this opportunity, oh Lord, to be your bond servant. Payday daily. Just give us so much. In many ways, you should say, God, too much. Your blessing. You open those floodgates, Lord, I just pray. Help us to serve you. Start thinking about this more to ourselves. I'm Philippians chapter 2. To be like you, Jesus. That is the desire of our hearts. It would just be swimming in service to your glory for the sake of your name. Jesus, amen.